Today's gospel is found in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning with verse 14, found on page 812 in your Bibles. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. I want to welcome back our friend Bill Moberly. Pastor Bill has been really involved in world missions for decades now.
And, that's actually 20 years next month, full time. So yes. It's been amazing.
And so I'm excited to hear what he has to share with us today. And let's welcome Pastor Bill.
Yeah, thank you. Well, good morning. It's always delightful to come here to Fountain Hills, not necessarily because of the weather, although it's not bad today, but it really is a lot of dear friendships here, your partnership in the gospel over many, many years. Going back, Pastor Steve and I were classmates at Luther Seminary way back in the day. I know he looks a lot older, and I get that. Steve's not here to defend himself, but long-time friendship and partnership with your congregation. Grateful for that. This morning, I'm going to talk about global mission more specifically. As Pastor Jeff said, your congregation specifically partners with ALWM in the work that we do in Vietnam and in Cambodia. I'll be talking about that in more detail during the Sunday school hour. And I urge you to stay for that. I know what it's like. You want to get home and eat, whatever. There's no football game on right away. And particularly when it comes to global mission, and we'll delve into that now, we often don't know what we don't know. Now, I want to ask you really two questions. First is, you know, it can be very easy to come to worship on a Sunday morning. Well, for some, that's not even easy, but to come with maybe a low set of expectations. You know, if you come here, you can hear a good sermon. Music will be wonderful, and it's really delightful today. You'll see friends and be encouraged. And yet sometimes beyond that, there is a thread of God's wanting to really speak into your life and mine that can be easy to miss or to dismiss or to come maybe not listening for at all. If you've been catching the thread this morning put together through the music and the scripture that's been read, there's a thread there. God has chosen you and I. God calls you and I. It's not just Andrew and Simon Peter and the first disciples. God calls us. I love that song that the choir sang, The Summons, aptly titled. So when you come, and I hope this morning you're hearing the thread of God's call that goes beyond the disciples, that goes beyond the printed word, but really extends to God's passion, God's desire, God's call to interact with you and I and send us forth in the world with a vision for how his gospel, his message, his good news changes lives, and that he uses people to do that. Now, I want to ask you a second and related question. It comes out of a survey recently done, well, 2017 and again in 2021. If you're familiar with the Barna Research Group, or if you've ever heard of them, you know, it's political season, so we get familiar with who does the political polling, right? You may get phone calls asking you how you're going to vote. For the Christian world, the Barna Research Group is primary ones holding the, I guess, checking the pulse, we'd say, of what is happening in the church. They did two surveys in recent years, one 2017 and a more in-depth one following in 2021. And the core of it surrounded this question. Number one, have you heard of the Great Commission before? I'm going to ask you here, how many of you have heard of the Great Commission? Okay. They followed up with the question, if you've heard of it, what is it? Now, I don't know if you remember your school days. Mine were a few years ago. The hardest test sometimes were the ones that didn't just have, you know, choose A through E, and you get options to choose from, and you kind of by process of elimination decide, well, I know it's not A or C. It's got to be B or D. I'll at least make a wild guess. That the most difficult ones sometimes are the ones where you've got to actually give the answer, right? Even when there were scripture passages to select from, astonishing results in terms of what people believed the Great Commission to be. Here were the results, and they were the same in 2017, delved into more in 2021. He writes about that and what he calls the Great Disconnect, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the more than 50% of the people surveyed, both in 2017 and 2021, and now we're talking about regular church attenders, you know, people who not just come Christmas and Easter, but who are active in the life of the church, cross-denominational lines, more than 50% in both surveys said, have never heard of the Great Commission before. There was another 25 to 30%, it varied between the two surveys, who said, I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it means. 17% in 2017, and it was nearly the same figure in 2021, said, now I've heard of the Great Commission, and it's Matthew 28 as an example. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey all that I've commanded you. Jesus' command to go. We read about it this morning. Not the first time when Jesus, when God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. You know, I wasn't in a church that read from the lectionary. Did you read from Jonah 1 last week? No. Okay, so the passage of Scripture says, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Well, if you're familiar with the story, the first time he said, go preach to Nineveh, and he ran. He said, I don't want to preach to them, because if I preach, they'll probably repent, and I'd rather see them pay for their sins. I'd rather see them smashed than accept the grace of God. So God called Jonah to go. In our passage, he willingly went. That's because of what happened in the first two chapters, fleeing away and be swallowed by the whale and all of that. God commands us to go. That call is echoed forth from the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, particularly once God called the people of Israel, he called them to go, to live out their faith, to proclaim with their lips and their life that there is one God. And ultimately, when Jesus came, that God is revealed through Jesus Christ. Barnacles' results from the 2017, or as he followed up in 2021, the Great Disconnect, he asked a whole series of follow-up questions. It's a fascinating article. I'm going to post it on our website this coming week. But he probed into it further. And amongst other things, the thing that's worth saying at this juncture is he asked this question. He said, is the command to go and make disciples of all the nations, is that a command or is it a calling? And now they distinguish the two, because a command is something that you can't bypass. I love, again, the terminology in the name of the song of the song, a summons. I know a good friend of mine, pastors in Texas, I preached in his church last week. He had a summons to jury duty last Tuesday. So he said, I've lived in Texas 2 years, I'm already doing jury duty, and there was no simple way to get around it, because you've got to appear, right? So a command is something that, as a father of seven, and we have our 22nd and 23rd grandkids on the way this year, it's glad my wife can keep track of all of that. God's good. God's blessed us many ways. You learn the distinction very early as you raise your family, or if you're still raising them, the difference between would you like to take the garbage out and take the garbage out, right? Much more serious when we're talking about Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all the nations. So in the survey, Barna said, is this a command or is it a calling? A calling is something that, you know, as you did this morning, Pastor Jeff, you said, you know, we need some leaders. We're starting this new series of small groups. Some can be facilitators. And you can either say, well, that sounds good, or I hope somebody else does it, but it's not going to be me. you can take it or leave it. More than 85% of the pastors surveyed said, Matthew 28, that's a command. The Great Commission is a command. We're commanded to go and make disciples of all the nations. That somehow your life and mine, our congregations, we need to be engaged with Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all the ethne. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Surprisingly, less than 50%, it was in the low 40s. It varied a little bit between the two, the way the question was articulated. But amongst lay people, only less than 40% or around 40 said, yeah, it's a command. Most said, nah, it's a calling. That's for some people, like here at Shepherd of the Hills, some of you are on the mission team, mission committee, and it's easy to think, well, that's their thing. They're on the mission team. They somehow know about all the different agencies and things that you engage with as a congregation, Pastor Jeff's relationships in Nicaragua. You know, we're glad that's your thing, right? But that's not our thing, and we think it's somebody else's thing, or it's the people on the mission team. There's a great disconnect there, right? And the disconnect is that we still live in a day where Jesus' command is active, it's viable, it's there for us as a church, as individual congregations, whether we're in this beautiful city, in this beautiful state, where if you're visiting, you're escaping winter somehow. Rural, urban, large congregations and small, I get to many, and I'm blessed to do that across the country, and many smaller churches of different kinds in many, many different countries. God, that command is for us to be faithful, to take the gospel to the nations. Because Jesus' command is more than just taking the gospel to countries. We need to understand a couple of things. When Jesus commanded us to go, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. The word nations there is it's not like we sometimes use in English. We sometimes treat the word country and nation as synonymous. You know, so we can think of geopolitical entities. There's what, just under 300. Those come and go, borders change, all kinds of things. Biblical term, the Greek word is ethne. It's the same word we get ethnic grouping from. Missiologists use the term people group to describe what the strategic target of missions. When Jesus called us to go, commanded us to go and make disciples of all the nations, he was talking about the tongues, tribes, peoples, and languages. We get the picture of it in Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 7. It says, one day we'll be gathered around the throne, people from every tongue, tribe, people, and language. Why will they be gathered around the throne? Not every person, but some from each. Because they will have come to that personal knowledge, personal revelation, that wonderful news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? The word people grouping, or the word implied there, ethne, when you're talking about tongues, tribes, peoples, and languages, that terminology, when applied to our world today, here's a couple of statistics for you. There's slightly more than 8 billion people on the face of the planet. When we start talking about people groups, these various ethne, there's more than 17,280 distinct people groupings. Distinct by their ethnic heritage, right? Language, culture, that is the way we live together, and geography. When you put those four factors together, you've got more than 17,200 and some people groups. Astonishing number. I was a math major in college, so I like numbers, so I remember those kinds of things. It can be sometimes overwhelming, sometimes staggering. Here's another figure for you. If one day we're to be gathered around the throne, every tongue, tribe, people, and language, then wonder, it's good to ask, how are we doing there, right? Remember, I preached in Indiana at the LCMC congregation probably 7 or 8 years ago, and I was doing my full mission seminar, and my book kind of goes into some of that in from a different perspective. And I gave the statistic that of those 17,281 people groups, more than 7,000 are defined by missiologists as unreached, which means there's less than 2% of the population, if that, that are Christian, I was in Bangladesh. I'll talk more about that during Sunday school. Just a couple of months ago, it's 0.3% Christian. That 2% threshold comes from kind of this more extended definition, and you probably won't remember it, but maybe you get the core idea. That is, it's a grouping of people who are unable to evangelize their own people group without significant outside assistance. They need outside help. When we partner with Pastor Sam, I'll go more on that in Sunday school hour, and there's many new things coming. Some amazing things are going on there. They need outside help to do the work they're doing there. Yeah, it's amazing. It's thrilling to see Carol Miles, and founder of Vital Links for Humanity, which we merged with, almost 6 years ago. Yikes. We're so honored to be involved in Vietnam with the work of Vital Links, which began because a couple of people did what the song said, right? If I call you, will you go? And I'm still amazed that you went for the 3 months and then went for that year. All kinds of inconveniences with that. We won't go down that road. But as we sit here today, tremendous work going on in Vietnam through the medical team there. There's a new another filtration system going in this week. We had a donor that put one in. And so we've got some amazing work that Dr. Hong and her team are doing through the course of the year. Why? Why does that work continue? Because of the partnership that began, because a couple of people said, well, sure, we can go to Vietnam for a few months. Hey, we got to do something to help. Let's do something. So that kind of outside assistance varies from country to country, place to place, but it's needed in order to take the gospel and help people to plant that word. Well, I mentioned a woman in Indiana came up to me afterward, and she was familiar with the ALCA's global mission definition that had dominated the last 30-plus years, which was the whole idea of accompaniment, right? You partner with somebody, and of course, accompaniment by nature suggests that those are the people you accompany with, that's where the work goes on. She's assumed that since there was no talk about places where you need to take the gospel, where there was nobody to accompany yet because the church didn't exist, she thought, well, everybody, there must be access to the gospel everywhere. And when I said, no, 40% of the world's population, more than 3.1 billion people, have little or no access to the gospel, she said, what? She just was floored. You know, on the day when Franklin Graham or... you know, before that, his dad, you've got, you know, you can preach via the internet, you can watch videos, you can do all kinds of things, you can travel I'm just getting ready to buy my tickets to Vietnam, and, you know, 30 hours later, or if you do like I did last summer, trying to save money, we flew to Singapore. We spent an extra 10 hours traveling because Bill wanted to save a couple $100, you know. And I realized, oh man, there was Cambodia, we're still headed south. What was I doing? My wife looked at me and said, did you buy the cheapest ticket? I said, you bet I did. Oh, well, when you have 7 kids, that's what you do. My point is there's tremendous need in the world right now for the gospel, and it comes down to people like you and I being willing to say, yes, I will go, yes, I'll give, yes, I'll pray, yes, I will send, because otherwise the word doesn't get out. Too many of us can be like Jonah the first time around. We may not flee away. We may not end up in the belly of a whale. We may not be fleeing by ship. And the ship goes down and people go, ha-ha, it's because you're running from God. Sometimes it's just our passivity, our inactivity, our unwillingness to give or send or go. But there's some amazing things that God wants to do in the world because there are still people desperate to hear. Still people desperate to hear that there is hope in the gospel. I was in Bangladesh, as I mentioned, a few months ago. And I want to wrap up with this and one other brief story. But the network of churches we work with there is about 300 people, 10 little village churches, most of them marginalized, not part of the major people grouping that are Bengal, I guess is the way you'd say that. But... struggle just with life. Everything's a struggle. As they said, there's no schooling nearby, no medical care nearby. They harvest rice twice a year, make $5 a day harvesting rice, and they said, we don't have any other income most of the year because they're of the small, some of the small tribal groups. They can't get employment. They're not, they just don't have a way forward. And so we may buy some sewing machines and establish some sewing businesses. We're still working on that detail. But I talked to our partner there, Swapan, afterward. I spent a couple days doing some training and then visiting all the villages. And he said, when I talked to him at Christmas time, he said, there is such a sense of hope here. And it's not because there's anything about Bill, but there's hope in the gospel. Having someone come and say, I care. And more than that, it's not my care, it's God's care. God loves you. God sent Jesus to die for you. God knows your name. God knows what you face. God knows your challenges. God knows you. He loves you. Now, how God can do that with 8 billion when it's, you know, I can't keep track of all my grandkids' birth dates, right? It's the wonder of God. But he said there's such hope pervading all of their churches that they've seen in the last few months because somebody cares. Began asking the question, what is the Great Commission? Some of us know, some of us don't. I flew to California about 20 years ago. It was early on in my global mission days. No, actually, it was 30 years ago. That's, anyway, not important. I was going to speak in a church. Flew into LAX. I had to pick up a rental car. I was supposed to be at a church about 2 hours afterward. Walk up, driver's license, credit card. And he said, can you give me a valid driver's license? I said, that is a valid driver's license. He said, no. He said, it expired a week ago. And I said, you don't understand. I said, I am supposed to be in Glendale here in about an hour for a presentation, and then I'm supposed to drive out to San Diego and out in the valley and train a church and how to plant a church in Russia. I need to get there. And he said, sir, you don't understand. He said, Alamo rent a car. We rent a car with valid driver's license and a valid credit card. So he said, until you can present a valid driver's license, and he said, your credit card's fine, you're not going to go anywhere. Well, thankfully, it was pre-9/11. There was no Uber. I walked about a mile and a half, which took a while, to the nearest license bureau. I took the California test, got a California driver's license that went along with my Minnesota license, went back, presented that. I was a couple hours behind. My point is, the only definition that counted that day was the state of California and Alamo were in a car. They had, and my naivete, my ignorance, my not looking at my mail and missing somehow the Minnesota reminder to renew my license, none of that counted for anything. When we're talking about Jesus' call to the nations, that we're chosen, that we're summoned, that there's a world out there desperate to hear, and that he hears through you and I, whether we go, whether we support those who go, whether we support a project, whether we invest in the changing of lives around the world, whether we're aware or not, really doesn't make any difference. There's only one definition that counts, and Jesus said we're to go to the nations. I urge you to stay for Sunday school and learn more, but most of all, I pray that you'll learn what you don't know. I've been doing this 20 years, continually amazed that God would use someone, but that he used Balaam's donkey, so I'm okay with that. I just know God called us, and here we are 20 years later. My passion in my heart is to see the world come to Christ, and a key part of that is the willingness of people like yourselves to pray and give and send and go, congregations like yours to continue to invest. The life-changing work that's happening in Vietnam right now is directly because you've been faithful over these years, month in, month out, to continue and invest. The work that Pastor Sam is doing in Cambodia is because month in, month out, you continue to invest. And that begins with individuals who will say, yes, what's mine isn't necessarily mine. I don't have to take it all with me. I can't take all of it with me. In fact, I can't take any of it with me. But I can pray and give and go and make a difference for the world that yet needs to hear the wonderful news that Jesus is the hope, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Would you pray with me? Father, we gather here this morning grateful that we can worship. We can worship freely. We can worship openly. We have no fear of authorities identifying us or throwing us in jail. We have no fear of recrimination or reprisal. We simply are here worshiping freely because you've allowed us to be born in this country, and you've broken into our life one way or another, whether through the work of our parents or others or our own response. You've revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord, and you live in us, and you draw us to yourself week by week. But I pray, Father, that you'll continue in increasing ways, open each of our eyes to how our life can intersect with your greatest call and your highest purpose, which is to see every tongue, tribe, people, and language gathered one day around the throne. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.